Our eternal God and our Father, we would still our hearts now in thy presence. Lord, we come at the very commencement of this service of worship to plead for thy help upon us today. Lord, we pray that we might know help, Lord, beyond ourselves today. And Lord, that this day we might truly be like John of old in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Give help in every aspect, every part of this meeting, and through it all may thy name and thy name alone be glorified. Answer prayer and be with us. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We're going to commence our worship this morning by singing together the words of our hymn that we learned this time last year during lockdown, the words of the hymn, The Secret Place, which of course is based on the words of Psalm 91. We'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn together, please.
Thank you.
Let's unite our hearts together, please, as we come now to that secret place. Can I ask you, if you want, you can stand, just to change your position. Let's stand together, if you can, just for a word of opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to that secret place once again. And Lord, we come because we sense our need of Thee. Lord, we come because without Thee we are nothing and we're helpless. And so, Lord, we thank Thee today that there is that place before the throne of God. Lord, that we can come and make our petitions known unto Thee. And Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that we come in and through that precious and all-worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, Lord, for He who has made it possible for us to draw nigh to God. We thank Thee, Lord, for He who has made it possible for us to be called the children of God. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy blessed Son. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our only Redeemer. We thank Thee, Lord, for His finished work there on the cross of Calvary. We thank Thee, Lord, for His sacrificial death for us. There He became sin for us. He who knew no sin, yet He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. Heavenly Father, we rejoice for the standing that is ours this morning in Christ. Lord, we thank Thee that today our sins are cleansed. We thank Thee, Lord, today that we have been forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. And Heavenly Father, we have so much to praise Thee and so much to thank Thee for. And our Father and our God, we pray that this morning, as we would assemble ourselves in this public house of God to worship Thee, Lord, lift our hearts heavenward today, we pray, through everything, Lord, that would be said and done in this place today. May the man at Thy right hand have all the glory, and Lord, may he have all the preeminence in all things. Bless us, we pray, Lord, as we worship Thee. Lord, help our praise to be acceptable in Thy sight. We pray, Lord, You'll remember our brother Philip as we would come minister to us in song. We pray, Lord, Your blessing upon him. And Lord, we pray for he and Esther and Harry and George, that as in a few weeks' time, Lord, they would go to take up the work of God there in Kilray. Go with them, O God, we pray. Lord, make Thy servant a mighty instrument in the hands of God. And Lord, we pray that that area and district will know that there is a man of God that has come to preach the whole counsel of God. Bless him amongst us this morning, we pray. Encourage him and use him, O God, we ask. And our Father, we pray that You'll bless us around the word of God. Come amongst us and come upon us. And may Thy presence be felt. Our Father, we pray that You'll bless every gathering such as this across our land. Lord, we cry unto Thee for that. Lord, cloud the size of a man's hand. Lord, come and send the showers of blessing upon us, we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, revive us in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. So be with us, we pray, and give us help to worship Thee aright. We thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy mercy that finds us in the house of God this morning. And Lord, we just pray that this day we'll have a heart full of praise for all that the Lord has done for us. So be with us and give us help. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated and thank you. Well, this morning we give a very warm welcome back to our brother Philip. No stranger, of course, to us here in Sandown. And we give a welcome back to him for perhaps the last time for a little while, because as he told us the last time he was here, he is going to take up the work of God in Kilray Baptist at the end of next month. And so we're glad that he's been able to come today, and we appreciate his willingness, his desire to come. We've always enjoyed his ministry. So he's going to sing, and he's going to tell us a little at some stage today of how the Lord has led him. Philip, you're welcome, and the Lord richly bless you.
I have a source of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source. shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sorrow,
Sandown this morning. I practiced that the whole way up the road to say this morning. And I apologize. I promise I don't smoke, and I've never smoked in my life. But in the morning time, my voice is a wee bit gravelly, so you'll have to work with it. I didn't know how I was going to get through that first one. But it's lovely to be with you and to share with you just a couple of songs and then a little bit about how the Lord has led in my life and my wife's life over the last couple of years. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever anticipate we'd be going to Kilray Baptist Church to pastor that work, but that's how the Lord works. I'm sure the Reverend Wilson would say something similar. When the Lord called him, he maybe never envisaged going into the Lord's work, but that's the way it is. How many people here this morning, and you can put your hand up, it's okay, know the song Child of the King? Well, that's not good. Oh, one. Good. You might know it whenever it starts. It's a little bit more up-tempo, but sure, it's Sunday morning, it'll get you all wakened up, and if you don't like it, it'll be over in 3 minutes 57 seconds. So I trust you'll enjoy it. Child of the King. And there's a little tin whistle thing at the start, but we're not that far away from St. Patrick's Day, so I thought it was inclusive and all that.
And lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King child with a heavenly home. My Holy Father has made me His own, and I'm cleansed by His blood, and I'm clothed in His love. And someday I'll sing with the angels above. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and child of the King, His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can say, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Thank you very much indeed, Philip. Was that you on the tin whistle? No. Thank you very much. Praise God. We are children of the King, those who are saved today. What a wonderful privilege it is to be no longer the children of wrath, but to be a child of the King. Thank you. We'll hear from Philip in just a few moments' time again. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the Book of Acts? Book of Acts in the chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. A few weeks ago, when we brought our series of messages on revival to an end, we were in this chapter, at the end of the chapter, and before that we had been at the start of the chapter, but we want to look at the middle part of this chapter this morning. We're going to read from verse 14. Acts chapter 2 and the verse 14. And let's hear the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I, on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Amen. We'll end there at verse 24, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Let me at this stage welcome you all along again to God's house this morning. We are glad to see you all in the house of the Lord today, and we welcome you sincerely and warmly in the Saviour's great name. And also to those who are watching online via our various broadcasts, we welcome you as well. Can I just remind you of the meetings that lie ahead in the will of the Lord tonight and the week that lies before us in God's will? 6:30, we have our gospel service, and we'd love to see you back again tonight for the gospel service. Make that plan to be with us this evening, 6:30, for the time of gospel preaching. And our sister Sophie Shields will be here to sing this evening in the gospel. Can I remind our elders and deacons that we have a meeting tomorrow night? That's Monday night at 8 o'clock. Tuesday night at 7 p.m. That is the final of the online Explorers Bible Club for this season. And we want you all to tune in this Tuesday night, as I know you have been very faithfully over these past number of weeks and months. But this week will be the final online Explorers Club. And we have a very special guest coming along on Tuesday evening to be our speaker, our guest speaker. No stranger to us in Sandown here, our sister Auntie Joyce. Joyce Walsh will be the speaker on Tuesday evening. And I understand, by request, she's going to bring a few friends with her. So you need to tune in and see who those friends are that she brings with her on Tuesday night. Do remember that and remember it much in prayer. We've much to thank the Lord for. Just over a year now of these online Explorers Club, and we're thankful for all the children and older people that have been reached, and most especially for those little ones that have been saved, and we give God the glory. On Thursday night, 8 o'clock, our Bible study and prayer meeting, and I again encourage all of God's people to join with us here in the church on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. After the meeting on Thursday evening, we will have the Lord's table, and we encourage all of God's people to be in attendance as we come around the table of the Lord and remember his death. Friday night, 8 o'clock, there is our special night on Zoom, and I trust you're able to join with us for that night of fellowship on Friday night at 8. I'll send out the link just prior to 8, and I trust you'll be able to join with us. This Saturday, there is a live webcast of the Easter Missionary Rally. That goes out from our Ballymena Church, our Ballymena Facebook and Sermon Audio site. We'll broadcast that special missionary rally this Saturday night at 7:30. And the Reverend Ian Horace, the chairman of our mission board, will be the special speaker. So please do remember that. Then next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we have our Easter services next Sunday morning at 11:30 and 6:30, our gospel service. I'll be here to preach in the will of the Lord, and both of those meetings in the evening time, our sister Lauren Wan, although we know Lauren better as Lauren Graham, will be here to sing on next Sunday evening, and also her daddy, Derek, will be here to sing, no, to testify next Sunday as well. You can sing as well if you wish, Derek, not a problem. But he's going to be bringing a word of testimony. This Friday morning, Saturday morning, and next Monday morning, there is a special holiday Bible club run by FPC Kids, and that is on the FPC Kids Facebook site. Each morning, Friday morning, this Friday morning, this Saturday morning, and then Easter Monday morning at 10 a.m. And please do make that known and tune in and support that special holiday Bible club. There is then as well on Easter Monday, normally we would all be going to the Martyrs on Easter Monday, but again, that's sadly not possible this year. It will be, the broadcast will go out on Easter Monday at 7:30, special Easter convention. It will be online only, and it will be broadcast from the Martyrs, their Facebook page and their sermon audio page as well. Our moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong, will be the preacher at that. So that's next Monday, Easter Monday at 7:30 p.m. As we send out word during the week, our Sunday school, both here and in Hollywood, returns on Sunday the 11th of April, and also our Bible class returns on that Sunday as well. Please do keep that in mind. If you have missionary boxes, please do bring those in to either William or Richard, and they will be emptied and returned back to you. Can I ask you to continue to remember all those that we have been praying for over recent times, to remember Stephen's dad, remember Janie's brothers, Harry and Martin, remember Gemma. Gemma's back home again out of hospital, and pray that as she recovers, that the Lord would be pleased to keep his hand upon her and her family at this time. Also remember our brother Jim Crean, in your prayers as well. Remember all of our shut-ins and all of our elderly folk at this time. Many, I know, would dearly love to be back in God's house, and do remember them at this time, please. I would also ask you, please, to remember Philip's mother-in-law in your prayers. That is Valerie Johnson, who is a member of our church in Cookstown and mother-in-law to our brother Philip. Valerie, this week, got very difficult, hard news. And I know it's been a very difficult week for the family, and we want you to remember them very much in your prayers. Pray that the Lord of grace and the God of comfort will be their strength, and that the Lord would heal Valerie in a very particular way. And Philip, we want you to know that as a congregation we'll be praying, and please do pass on our prayerful support as well to Valerie and to all your family. Finally, there are no offerings, as you know, being taken up at this time during the services, but you can place your offerings and your tithes in the boxes as you leave this morning. So we're going to hand back to our brother Philip. He's going to sing another few pieces. Pray the Lord bless you as you come and sing to us. God bless you.
lovely song. I picked that song up about 2 or 3 years ago when I was with Solid Ground, and it meant a lot to other people in the group at that time, and it means a lot to me this morning. Thank you for praying for Valerie. Well, I really hope you do that. It's been a tough week, but he is able. Didn't think a big galoot like me could cry, eh? Dear me. Anyway, I'm just going to call him Garth. I have wrestled all morning coming up the road to call him Reverend Wilson, to call him Mr. Wilson. To me, he's just Garth, so I'm just going to call him that. He's asked me just to share with you a couple of things just leading in the Lord in my life and my wife's life over the last couple of months, so I'm just going to do that for you this morning. I'll give you the whistle-stop tour of my life. 2006, I got saved. I simply called upon the name of the Lord, and he saved me one night in my bedroom when I was about 16. And one of the reasons I love to sing, I love the Cathedral Quartet, and there's a song that they used to sing called Sin Will Take You Farther Than You Want to Go. Lovely song. And George Yance, the MC of the group, he just simply announced the title of that song. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. And that's what the Lord used to convict me of my sin, just lying there in my bed. And even though I'd been raised in a Christian home, started to make a bit of a shipwreck of my life, but the Lord was good, he was merciful, and he saved me that night, and he's kept me, and he cleansed me from all sin by his precious blood. And I'm so thankful for that. Fast forward a couple of years, by 2012, 2013, I fell in with Solid Ground, who many of you know. And I sang with those guys for about 7 years. They tolerated me. Never, ever had sung before in my life. And Stephen texted me one night saying, do you know of a tenor singer? I don't really sing tenor either. Like. So he said, do you know of a tenor singer? And I said, well, how high would you have to sing? And he gave me some note. I can't play a note. By the way, I don't have a clue what the notes are on the piano. I knew middle C on the piano at home because it was beside the Y of the Yamaha. Honestly, that's how limited I was. So I volunteered, went up to Bally Baptist and managed to, that's where they practiced at that time, and done something all right for a couple of years and really had a good time. Then 2015, a couple of years before that, I'd met the love of my life, Esther. Met her at an Ernie Haas Signature Sound concert. How romantic is that? She doesn't remember. But I remembered her, and started to go out and all the rest of it, and got engaged, got married 2015, and we set up a home in Portadown, and then went to Lurgan Baptist, simply because Dennis Lyle had actually, I'd known Dennis for a couple of years, but he led my granda to the Lord on one of Dennis's holidays that he used to take, and my granda, we prayed for him for years and years, and he met the Lord, and Dennis led him to the Lord, so I always had a bit of a soft spot for Dennis, and so we went to Lurgan Baptist. Well, that's very important at Lurgan Baptist because they gave the young men opportunity to speak. And I wasn't long there, and one of the elders, he's now retired, but Walton came to me and he said, Philip, have you ever spoke at a meeting? I says, no, just about sing at them, but never spoke. He says, well, you're going to. Then he smiled. He said, just 10 minutes, you'll be among friends at the prayer meeting on a Thursday night. Right, okay. So I did that. And I got my wife to time me. I was 7 minutes. But he said afterwards, it wasn't bad for a first attempt. You'll do it again. And so that began the cycle. And then there another elder there, Morris, he got me to speak on a Sunday night. Put me on in the summer, he said, when it was quiet and most people were in Portrush, you'd be all right. So he put me on. I didn't click with me that you are going out in sermon audio at the same time, so probably double your audience. So I went on. Did that Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and the opportunities just kept going and going. And then when I was out with Solid Ground, they used to pick on me, you know, as you probably can imagine, I was the youngest by some considerable margin, at least 20 years. And they used to pick on me anytime we would go to a place and they would say, we have to speak, the cub, that's what they call me, the cub will do it. No thought, preparation time, nothing, no, he'll do it. So I got that. And I was happy enough to do it. I enjoyed digging into God's Word and to to try and get something out of it, a simple gospel message. And it was all going great. We'd made a CD. Some of you have that CD, I'm sure. And unlike Robbie Hare, I'm not going to plug it this morning. But I'm sure you can get it at all reputable bookshops. But we made that CD, went to the States. It was a dream to go to the United States to record it and to put something together. Never thought I'd be able to do something like that. We had a great time. We were going well. We'd even broke into the very lucrative Free Presbyterian market. We were invited to Free P churches to sing. We had reached the pinnacle. And then in February 2019, I read in Isaiah 55:11 about how the Lord's word does not return unto him void. And this thought sort of crashed around my head. Empty as it is, it does a lot of crashing. And then in March 2019, if you can recall, I think it was 2019, maybe it was 2020, but in 2019, there was a tragedy in Cookstown at the nightclub. The young people lost their lives. And that really impacted me, just the thought of young lives thrust out into eternity. And it was just, I couldn't get over this. Then in May 2019, Pastor Ian Wilson came to Lurgan Baptist to preach. And Harry was born at that stage, our firstborn. And remember, I could take you to where I was sitting, and Ian started preaching on Jacob's dilemma, giving up things which are precious to you in order that you would spend more time with God. And I thought, if he'd hit me in the face with his Bible afterwards, he wouldn't hit me as hard. It came to me, that's solid ground. You have to give up solid ground. And as you do, you try to negotiate with the Lord. No, sure, we're doing well. You know, we're going to different places. We're reaching loads of people with the gospel. We've made the CD. People are enjoying it. They're being blessed by it, hopefully challenged as to their need of salvation. No. Well, this kept going on and on in my head, and I wrestled with it for about 6 months. And then I read a verse one day, "For I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And I realized I have to go through with God here and stop the singing. So I had to make another emotional phone call to Stephen Irons. And in fairness to Stephen, he said, "I'm not going to argue with how the Lord's leading in your life. They claim they miss me terribly. But I do miss them. Really enjoyed the times on the road and all the rest of it. But I stepped away from them at the end of 2019. And I thought I was going to do the odd bit of solo work here and there. And maybe have more time for preaching and that sort of thing. And then a little thing called the pandemic came along. And that all dried up last year, 2020. And as we go through 2020, June 2020, I got a phone call from my boss at work that would sort of change everything for a while. And I went through a trial at work. Not anything to do with work, but I'll tell you, because we're going out online, I don't want to give too much away, but I can tell you offline if you want. But it was a tough time that I went through at work. But what did I learn during that tough trial? Very simply, it drove me into the Word of God, closer into the Word of God and what he was saying to me. And as I was reading through my Bible, I don't read here and there. I was just working through systematically. I was reading through the Gospels. And every time I seemed to pick up the Bible, it was, you know, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they left their net. You know, left their employment, they left their security, and they followed him, no questions asked. And just seemed every time I picked up the Word of God, I was getting this challenge over and over again, leaving all to follow him. I need more than two arms for this. And then on the 3rd of September, that verse I just quoted to you, Mark 1:17, came to me with incredible force one day. "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And I was going through this trial at work, and it was tough going. And I remember being at a pastor's house, not Garth's, but I remember being at a pastor's house to record a couple of videos. Lockdown had eased at that stage, and we were able to do that, and he was doing videos for Facebook and other churches. And we just got chatting about how the Lord called him into ministry. He knew nothing of what I was going through and what I was thinking. Absolutely nothing at all. And just as we were going out the door, he tapped me on the shoulder and he says, "You know, Philip, sometimes the Lord has to break a man before he'll use him." And I sort of looked at him and I just about got round the corner and burst into tears. You're going to think I'm an emotional wreck. I'm not. So the next day I was driving up to Ballymena for work, and I'm so glad I had my sunglasses on. It was sunny because the tears were tripping me in the car. And I remember I got to that point and I remember crying out to the Lord and just saying, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'm not going to be happy until I completely yield to you and surrender everything to you." And that was okay, finished the car journey safely. And then on August the 30th, Esther and I were in Portrush for the last bank holiday weekend. Dennis again was preaching. Again, Dennis Lyle knew nothing of what I was going through. And we were sitting in Portrush Baptist Church. I don't know if any of you have been up there. But I remember sitting there and Dennis says, "Right, turn to our text, Isaiah 6, chapter 6. And his theme for that morning was, "Here am I, send me." I thought, oh, this is going to be a long sit. You talk about a challenge that morning. And he went through that sermon, and I've never been as uncomfortable in my life. And then at the end, there was another pastor there from Ballet Baptist, or he was going to be in Ballet, David Anderson. And Dennis got him to close in prayer. Again, David knew nothing what I was going through. David stood up and said, "Lord, if there's a young man here wrestling with the call of God upon his life, we pray that you would clearly show him what your will is for his life." And I remember sitting there on the table, communion service afterwards, and I remember looking around Portrush. They were vacant at that time. And I remember sitting thinking to myself, maybe, Philip, the Lord wants you to pastor a small Baptist church like Portrush. I've had some cracking ideas in my life, and that had to be the best one, I thought. So I walked out of the church, said nothing, and Esther was expecting her second boy at this stage. I was like, "You need to wise up, just focus on work, you know, provide for your family, all the rest of it." Got into the car, packed up the car, came back down the road, and you know how it is. I was like, how do I bring this up without sounding like an idiot? So I says, "Well, what do you think of that this morning?" "Yeah, it's very good, it's very challenging." And then my wife turned to me and she goes, "You know, Philip, maybe the Lord wants you to pastor a small Baptist church like Portrush." I'm so grateful for cruise control because I think I nearly would have crashed the car. And I just sort of looked at her and I said, "Did you think that too?" I said, yeah, I did. She said, "Maybe not Portrush, dear knows." So that was okay. And as I kept reading through the Lord's word, it was all about how he was going to equip me to preach and to teach. He was going to do it. The work situation resolved itself. No problem at all. And I sort of thought maybe this burden for service will just evaporate now that the pressure's off, you know, at work and all the rest of it. But it got worse. It got worse. The burden for service got even worse. Every time I turned to the Word of God or went to church, somebody would throw a line out about service. Remember Morris preached one Sunday morning, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Another one of our elders, Colin, he got up one morning. He was preaching on baptism, but he was speaking about Philip and the eunuch. And I mean, you weren't going to get much more personal than Philip. And I was standing in the back creche with one of the boys, well-behaved as usual, but I was in the back in the creche with them. And I remember I was so glad I was in the creche on my own because I was just shaking my head the whole time. I couldn't believe what I was hearing, just how the Lord was speaking to me. And as I said, I've been preaching and doing different bits and pieces around the country for different places. And an elder from Kilray phoned me December time and said, "Would you do a couple of messages on our midweek? You know, record yourself speaking and send them in. No problem at all, I'll do that." And I just kept doing them and doing them and doing them. And I didn't really think about the number that I'd done because I used to go and record them in my shed down the back of the garage, and just that was okay. I never really thought about it, but done quite a few of them. And I remember one night I was just reading, and I was reading in Corinthians. I literally just read, "Woe is me, if I preach not the gospel." My phone rang and it was one of the elders from Kilray. And I said, "Hello, how you doing?" "Good." He said, "Philip, would you ever, you know, consider ministry. I thought he was talking like generally. I never really thought an Egypt like me. And he said, no, you. I said, right. I immediately started fasting and praying. And I just put the phone down and I was completely silent, and Esther sort of figured out what was going on, and she came in and we had a chat about it, and we just left it with the Lord, how he would lead, and he kept leading and guiding us. And I kept preaching for Kilray. This was all classified information, but we kept preaching at Kilray, and they did what they had to do, met and voted and all the rest of it, and the call was issued, and we had a meeting with the elders in January time. Just me and my wife, and talked about different bits and pieces. I came home, and that night I just turned to Revelation 3:8. Behold, I have set before thee an open door which no man can shut. My heart started pounding in my chest about what was coming. Then the official call came out in February of this year, and I started to get every doubt and worry imaginable about this whole thing, and really worried about my lack of, you know, sort of formal training at no Bible college, not adverse to it. Garth must be on commission for the Whitfield. He really tried to get me in there. But nothing was working out. I did try research in Bible college. Nothing, just didn't seem to work. And I remember one night I was feeding George at like 3 in the morning, and I had the Genesis on my phone. I was trying to read it as I was putting him to sleep. And I remember looking down at him and going, how am I going to ever provide for you and your brother and your mummy upstairs, you know, if I stepped out full-time even to study or whatever at this stage? And then I read a lovely verse in the end of Genesis. I'm paraphrasing it because I don't have the hands that I thought I would up here. But it basically says, fear thee not, for I will nourish thee and your little ones. I wasn't going to get much more specific than that. So I just moved on in the knowledge and the confidence that the Lord was going to provide our every need, no matter what it was. So got the official call in February, and I really wrestled with this idea of not being capable or not having any training or not having anything behind me. Really, really worried about it. I remember reading in Exodus 4:12 one night. Now, and this is Moses, brilliant wee passage. Moses was giving his excuses to the Lord about how he wasn't eloquent, he couldn't do anything. And this verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And that was a confirmation just for me personally that the Lord has called you, Philip, and the Lord's going to equip you, and he's going to give you every word that you need to say. And Esther as well, her leading, she's not here to talk for herself, so I'll just do all that for you very quickly. But she was the same. She probably had leading before me even on it in confirmation. While she was reading, I was reading individually, then we read collectively. And all those three things lined up through her reading in Isaiah. Go in the strength of the Lord. Just was a recurring theme. We're going to go in the strength of the Lord. After that call, I've never had 2 weeks like it in my life. Nobody said anything negative to me. Most people were very positive, if maybe a bit surprised. Don't blame them. But everybody was very positive. No one said anything negative. But I had an unbelievable 2 weeks of oppression, I guess you could say, just even in my mind. And just the old enemy was really rattling me and rocking me. And I remember reading then in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, that how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And that was the confirmation, that was really the seal for us. To go in the strength of the Lord, not to have a spirit of fear. God's chosen the foolish things. He's chosen the weak things that he might get the glory. And that's what it's really all about. And that's what I've really learned over these last couple of months. It's all about him. It's all that he would get the preeminence. that in all things he might have the preeminence, and even the weakness in my life. I'm going to make mistakes as a pastor. I'm going to have many failures, but it's all for his glory, and through that weaker vessel, his glory can shine through. So just pray, I would just ask that you would pray for us as we go to Kilray in the next couple of weeks, that he would be pleased to enable us and to help us. It's a big step even for Esther too, obviously, the two boys. They're at a good wee age, 2.5 and 6 months. And they'll adapt, they'll be all right. But it's a big step for Esther, and obviously with everything that's going on too, there's a lot of pressure and worries. But the Lord's able. He wouldn't have called us to Kilray at this particular time if he wasn't able to bring us through it. And that's what we're able, and that's what we're just relying on this morning. I'm going to sing one more song, and then you'll be glad to know you'll be back to the dulcet and polished tones of the Reverend Wilson.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the that be my portion, maybe through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm
very much indeed for those messages and song and relating to us, the Lord's leading in your life. We'll say a little more in a few moments, but I want to come back again to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Now, panic not. You will get out. Don't worry. The roast will not be burned. But perhaps we can just stand for a little word of prayer just to change our position as we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning that we do know the One who holds the future. And we thank the Lord for each one today that's saved, that we know He holds our hand. We ask, O God, that You will be pleased to bless Philip, Nestor, Harry and George, be with them. Lord, we pray You'll go before them and use them mightly there, O God, we pray. And Lord, we pray now for help as we come to preach the Word of God and bring this meeting to a close. We look to Thee for Thy help and be with us in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The events, of course, of Acts chapter 2 live on in the memory and the history of the Church of Jesus Christ right up until this very day. But often, as I said while we were reading, we are taken up with the first part of this chapter, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we are taken up with the second part of this chapter, namely the church growing and being built up. But often the middle section of Acts chapter 2 is left out. And yet, this middle section is so paramount and so important in the whole events that took place on that great day of Pentecost. Because what happens in this middle section of Acts chapter 2 is the Lord using one of His apostles, Peter by name, to powerfully preach the Word of God, and through that preaching, 3,000 souls being saved. This was Peter's first sermon. And perhaps outside of the sermons of Christ, it's one of the greatest ever sermons that's been preached. Sadly, today we live in a generation where the role of preaching has been downplayed. And preaching has been undermined and has been given a secondary place in many churches, sadly. Yet throughout the Bible we see that preaching is given a central place. And so this morning I want us to look at this subject of Peter's powerful preaching and see how God used his preaching that day to convict souls and to convert so many in one day. Notice in verse 14 there, we read, "But Peter." Every word of Scripture is inspired, and even the small words are important, and that word "but" there is so important. And if you are in the habit of underlining your Bible, I encourage you, underline that word "but," because it marks a contrast between what has been said and what is going to be said. What has been said in verses 12 and 13, there's doubting, there's questioning what is happening here. The Holy Spirit has fallen, and verse 12, we read, "They were all amazed, they were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this?" Verse 13, "Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine." There was questioning, there was mocking, there was doubting. But then Peter comes with the answer. And in this powerful sermon that he preached, he put play to the doubters. Let us notice some things as we go through this sermon this morning, as we see as to how the doubters and how the questioning was put to bed. I want you to see, first of all, in this sermon that there is an examination of the Scriptures. There is an examination of the Scriptures. Peter starts off this sermon by examining and explaining the Scriptures. Remember what we've just said. He's seeking to answer the accusations and answer the questioning. And what does he do to answer? He brings the people to the Scriptures. Look at verse 16. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And on down to verse 21, he quotes from the Word of God. So Peter answers what is taking place by bringing them to the Scriptures. You see, this is a sermon that is based on Scripture. And any sermon, of course, which is not based in Scripture is just the raving rants of a preacher. But Peter goes right to the Scriptures of truth and answers these accusations. So we consider this examination of the Scriptures that Peter goes into here in this sermon. I want you to notice the authority. The authority. Peter here is showing what every true believer, every true Christian, and every true preacher must believe, and that is that the Word of God is the final and the full authority for what we believe. It's the Word of God that gives the answer to what is happening here in the Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. You see, we live today in an age where you see what is happening from one of two views. You can either view the events of this age and society from the view of the world, from the eyes of man. And many do. But for the child of God, we must not view events from the eyes of man, but from the eyes of Scripture and through the lens of the Bible. These events that were happening in Acts chapter 2 were not some sort of haphazard events. Rather, what Peter is seeking to bring out here is that they've been prophesied, they have been planned by God, and His authority is the Word of God. And you see, folks, today we have no greater authority than God's Word, than His law. And His Word must be the primary and the final authority in all matters. And Peter, by referencing the Scriptures, here in these events that are taking place on the day of Pentecost, is saying all Scripture is being fulfilled. And you see, today the world is the stage on which God plays out His plan. And even what's happening today in our society, across our nation and across our world, are all in accordance with the Word of God. You see, in an age when there is so much departure and so much dismissal of the Word of God, let us who name the name of Christ hold fast and hold firm and hold faithful to the Word of God. And oh, that today the pulpits in our land and churches across our land would have sermons that were God-centered and Bible-based. Because you listen to some of the greatest tripe and drivel over this past 12 months, you listen to some sermons and you wonder, what on earth are they talking about? They're fairy tales and there's nothing of the Word of God. And our nation today, our province today, needs to get back to the preaching of the Word of God. We've had enough of our epilogues. We've had enough of our ritual ceremonies. We've had enough of diluting the Scriptures. We need to get back to preaching that is based on the Word of God, because the Word of God is our final authority in all things. Above any church law, above any law of the land, God's law is our final authority. And so that's the authority that Peter had as he examined the Scriptures. But I want you to see as well the ability. Because as Peter explained and expounded the Scriptures, he didn't do so in his own ability. Notice the ability in verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how Peter preached this sermon. Filled with the Holy Ghost and filled with power. His ability to preach did not come from himself. It came from the Spirit of God. Dear believer today, can I, as your pastor, as your minister, plead, as I know you do, pray that this preacher, every time he gets into this pulpit, would know the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, upon his preaching, because without it, I might as well sit at home. As Philip goes to Kilray, pray that God helps him and uses him to preach the Word of God with power, because without it, there's no effect. We all know that Peter was brash and bold. We considered Peter as we looked through the apostles of Christ. Which is, I believe, here on this great day of Pentecost, when Peter got up to preach, he wasn't preaching his own words. God had control of his tongue. And he preached with supernatural anointing and supernatural ability. Mr. Spurgeon said that we might as well preach to the wall as preach to humanity unless the Holy Ghost be with the word to give it power to convert the soul. And what we need today in our land and in our churches and across our province is God-anointed preaching based on the word of God. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 5, Paul, writing to the church there, says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance." That's what we need. This year, as you know, marks the 70th anniversary of the founding of this denomination. And you listen to the founding fathers of our church preach, they were men anointed with God. That's what we need today. There was an examination of the Scriptures. But I want you to see as well, back in Acts chapter 2, that there is an exaltation of the Savior. Now this, of course, follows on. Because you see, if you're going to preach the Word of God, then you're obviously going to preach the Christ of God, because Christ is in all Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It's all of Christ. No man who preaches the Word of God cannot but help preach Christ. This was a Bible-based sermon, but this was a Christ-exalting sermon. Notice in verse 22, he speaks about the verification of Christ. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you." Here, Peter is saying to these Jews, this man, Jesus Christ, this man who did miracles and wonders among you, this is the Messiah. This is the Redeemer. He brings the people to the deity of Christ. He shows people that Christ is God. And he uplifts and he exalts Christ by exalting the person of Jesus Christ, the nature of Christ as a member of the triune Godhead. And so he does so by verifying Christ is the Messiah. You see, we need to preach up Christ. We need to lift up Christ. The sermon lifted up Christ. I heard of an old preacher once who, before he got into the pulpit, he prayed, "Lord, help me to preach an irresistible Christ. Help me to preach an irresistible Christ." And folks, that's what we need to do. We need to preach. We need to declare a Christ who is irresistible. How do we do that? We do that by lifting him up. Not only the verification of Christ, but you notice as well in verse 23, there's the crucifixion of Christ. "Him being delivered by the determinant counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken on by wicked hands, have crucified and slain." This sermon now reaches a high point because he brings his hearers, having spoken to them of the person of Christ, now brings them to the work of Christ. Those two are inseparable and so essential. We must always get to the cross in our preaching and in our witness and in our living for God. It was the preaching of the cross that convicts the sinner of their sin. But you know, for the child of God, the preaching of the cross also brings great comfort. You know, I'm sure I've heard of people who say, "I don't need to go to a gospel meeting because I'm saved. I don't need to go to a gospel mission because I'm saved." And the preaching of Christ seems to bore God's people. preaching of an uplifted, crucified Christ brings great comfort to the people of God. We see at the cross the compassion and the concern of the Savior towards His people. Dear believer, today see the Christ on the cross who loved you so much that He died to save you. See Him as the sympathizing Savior, the one who can strengthen you and support you in your time of need. The preaching of the cross brings great encouragement to the child of God. In those times of doubt, what is it that assures your salvation? It's an uplifted, crucified Christ. To know that I'm saved not by what I have done, but by what He has done. Preach Christ and Him crucified. There's also the resurrection of Christ in verse 24. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death. You see, the story doesn't end at the cross. The resurrection of Christ affirms and confirms that the work of Christ was accepted by the Father. God raised up the Son because the Son completed and accomplished the plan of redemption. Why is our salvation secure today? Because Christ is alive. And He lives. And folks, today, what a message. What a message we have to declare. Christ lives today. Every other leader of a false religion is dead today, but our Savior lives in that power of an endless life. There's also the exaltation of Christ. In verse 30, at the very end of the verse, he says, He would raise up Christ to sit on His throne. Verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father. You see, Christ is not crowned with a crown of thorns now. He's crowned with a crown of glory. And our salvation is assured because we have a man at the right hand of God the Father who pleads for us, who presents Himself as our only sacrifice for sin. Folks, that's the gospel. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection, exaltation of Christ. And listen. To this gospel, this world has no answer. This people needed to hear this message. They were wondering, what's going on? What was the answer? It was the preaching of an uplifted, crucified, risen, exalted Savior. That's where we need to get back to preaching. Back to the preaching of the Christ of the cross. Tell the world today. Tell the world of Jesus. So you can debate and you can discuss all day, every day. But listen, when you tell sinners of Jesus the mighty deceiver, that's what God will use. Today we live in a nation and they're wondering, what's going on? What is happening? Preach Christ. Tell them of Christ. Because Christ is still the hope of this world. Christ and Christ alone is the answer that this nation needs. And as I've said in the past, we don't need and we do not rely solely on some medical regime. We need the preaching of the cross and the uplifting of Christ. That's what our nation needs today. Because the gospel is still the greatest message any sinner can ever hear. Finally, there is an exhortation to the sinner. Notice the effect of his preaching in verse 37. It says, Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked in their heart. You see, whenever a sinner is presented with Christ, they have a decision to make. Because the gospel makes a claim on the life of each one. And they said, what shall we do? What does Peter answer? Look at verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. What is he doing? He's issuing the free call of the gospel to the sinner to come to Christ, to repent and be saved. I get fed up listening to people who supposedly are so sound in their doctrine, and yet they would never, and they're so tied up in their doctrine, that they would never tell a sinner, you need to be saved, because that's not my job. That's my job as a preacher. That's your job as a Christian. We need to tell sinners they need to be saved. We need to issue the gospel call. We need to issue the invitation. And folks, as I thought of the words of verse 38, what Peter says to these men and these women who were convicted, and he turns to them and he says, repent and be baptized. Do you know, folks, that what is happening in our nation right now and the type of legislation that's going through our mother parliament right now is trying to ban this type of preaching? Conversion therapy is not good, they tell us. And it might go under the guise of some sort of moral crusade, but listen, I believe, and you might disagree with me, but I believe it's an attempt to ban the gospel of Christ, and the preaching of the gospel, and the calling of sinners, leave your sin and be converted. We need to be very aware of what's going on, because our government and our leaders have little interest, in fact, no interest in the gospel. And as we saw on Thursday evening, those powers and principalities, they'll be controlled by the forces of hell. In the past 12 months, as all these efforts, and rightly so, have been made to try to preserve life, do you know what's been going on in our nation? There's been DIY abortions, little ones murdered in their womb, never had the chance to live. Let's not forget that every year on year, 200,000 little lives are snuffed out in the UK. 200,000 every year. Why is there no crisis about that? We need to exhort the sinner to come to Christ, whether it's acceptable or whether it's not. May God give us the strength and the courage to constantly preach Christ, constantly uplift Christ, and call sinners to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. I say to you, Philip, this morning, I'm not your pastor, I know that, but I'm your friend. Preach Christ. Preach up Christ. Because whether we're in Belfast or in Kilray or wherever we are, Christ is still the only answer. And he continues to exhort them. In verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to all the children and to all that are far off, even as many as their Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort. He's pleading with them, get right with God. Notice the result. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were called to repent. They were called to baptize themselves. What's baptism? It's a public identification with Christ. And that was a big thing for the Jew. They were, by their baptism, publicly showing to the world, I belong to Christ. But you know, whenever the Lord changes a life, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. As a church, we must uplift Christ. We must exalt Christ. We must preach Christ. We must hold Him up. But we must also hold Him out and offer the free call of the gospel for sinners to come to Christ. Why did God use this powerful preaching on the day of Pentecost? Because this was a message that was based on the Word of God. This was a message that exalted the Christ of the Word of God, and this was a message that exhorted sinners to come, to leave their sin, come to Christ. The plain, pure preaching of the gospel. God, bring us back to those days, because there's no other answer but Christ. Let's bow in prayer.